Welcome to Rugby League World Cup Radio with Winnie and Clarky. I'm Jacob Wynn from the Tripod, where we've had 8 straight winning years of NRL tips. He's Dane Clark from Clarky's Column, providing rugby league content straight to your feed for over 10 years. And each of us do everything that we do 100% free to follow. And during the World Cup, we are going to be live every single week to discuss the action. We'll let you know how we see the games playing out, what we're looking forward to. If we feel strongly about anything, we'll share a tip. We'll interact with your questions, your comments. There'll be chances for you to win NRL jerseys. Hopefully, we'll give you a mix of insight and entertainment and ultimately add to your enjoyment of what promises to be a fantastic tournament that kicks off in England Sunday morning, Australia time. Clarky, thanks heaps for being here with me. I'm really looking forward to doing this show with you, mate. And I did say before, we're live every week, but tonight that's not actually going to be true. Can you let people know where you are, why there's a washing machine behind me, and what tonight we've got in store for people?
Yeah, g'day Winnie and listeners. Tonight we will be going through all the Rugby League World Cup Round 1, giving our previews, and I'm really excited for it. I am in Perth at the moment, so we're dealing with time zones. We're both not at our usual location, so there's a fair bit going on. As Winnie said, this one won't be live, but in the future they will be live, and I think that's another layer to the show that makes it even more exciting.
Yeah, no, that means we're dealing with connection issues too. I'm up in Cairns, but we couldn't not do the show this week. The tournament kicks off this weekend, so we're just going to give it our best, and then we promise next week's going to be even better. In addition to going game by game, we'll share some futures tips, of course, that you can get on for the season, or just some of our predictions. And actually, before we begin, I just want to put a picture up on screen, Clarky, that was sent to me, and get your thoughts on this one and get other people's thoughts as well. And see if people can believe this isn't actually a photo of you and me. So shout out to Matt, the bloke who follows the page, and he seen this fella in a pub, gone up to him and said he's just started talking Tripod, only to find out the guy on the right is a Mexican fella named Fernando. And when I posted it on the Tripod page, not only did people think the resemblance to me was uncanny, but poor fella, but a lot of people said that Matt looks like Clarky. What do you reckon about that one?
There's some similarities in that. I will say off the top, both men are very, very good looking. So perhaps that's where the confusions come in. But that is an epic photo of proportions. The fact that two fellas look exactly like us, particularly your lookalike there. I think I've even seen that as your Facebook photo on Facebook, right?
Yeah, and I think some people said he looks more like me than I do myself, whereas I'm not sure about your one. Might not be a perfect doppelganger, but not too bad. All right, we're going to get into it. Actually, we're going to just start with 3 overall topics, but I want to hit these quick hitters because everyone's kind of talking about these. The eligibility rules, I just want to get your opinion on it because I think it sets up probably the most exciting Rugby League World Cup that we've ever had, but not everyone loves the rules.
Yeah, the eligibility is an interesting one. For me, I came up with a little bit of an idea earlier this year, and it was loved by some people, hated by others. My key thing was I believe we should have an under-23s World Cup, and that should be biannual. So we'll have every 2 years, whether it's a youth World Cup or the actual World Cup. Players that play in the under-23s cup then have the opportunity to commit to who they would like to, whether that's, you know, if they're dual eligible. They get to make the decision at a younger age and stick with that unless of extenuating circumstances. Another element that I put to that, which people didn't agree with, I basically said, if you're eligible for Origin, but also a nation, such as a Jerome Luai, such as a Victor Radley, scrap the whole one-tier, two-tier system because in my mind, we have an international game and a state competition. I don't believe they should correlate back and forth. I can see back in the day how Origin was, of course, the Australian sort of trial match. And to add excitement to that, it had to be a rivalry between Queensland and New South Wales. We're in a super unique spot here where the state competition is almost more valued than the international competition. But no correlation for me. So someone like Mulitalo, who was a matter of months off, let's say there's another situation like Mulitalo where they are eligible for Queensland, then he should also be able to play for New Zealand in the same way that I think Radley should be able to play for the Blues and England. So, yeah, Youth World Cup, Winnie, and the ability to play Origin and for your nation. I think that would be two really, really great changes they could make.
It's a funny one how if you're tier one like New Zealand, the players have to choose one or the other, Origin or their country. But if you're tier two like Samoa or Tonga, you can actually double dip and get both. But the thing is, as we will discuss, these countries like Samoa and Tonga are catching up to New Zealand and they get the advantage because these superstars can play both, whereas New Zealand might lose future superstars because they want to play Origin. Then they've got to declare eligibility for Australia. Some people saying, oh, they shouldn't be able to pick and choose. It should just be set. I think it really strengthens the international game. Now, we are sponsored by a bookmaker, Clarkie. If you wanted to just give a little disclaimer and explain that Top Sport's making this show possible for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah, first of all, to Top Sports, thank you very much for jumping on board. We really appreciate having Top Sport here. They make the show possible. And so to them, our full thanks. As a listener, if you are sort of listening to this right now, look, I do see some comments on my page in particular, people saying that they don't like betting with sport, and that's perfectly fine. I think there is more than enough content through this show that you're going to enjoy it, whether you are a gambler or not. But my biggest message, and I'm sure yours is very similar there, Winnie, is don't bet where you can't afford to lose, guys. We're not here going to give you 100% sure things. We both love the sport. We both watch it every week. But, of course, that's no guarantee that what we're saying is going to come through. So bet with your head, guys. Gamble responsibly. I know it's the cliche. Don't bet where you can't afford to lose. We think it's going to come through. That doesn't mean it's always going to happen.
That's for sure. Been doing this long enough to know that that's why we watch the games. We don't know what's going to happen. We'll do our best to steer you in the right direction. So if you are a punter, I think you get a lot out of this. Follow the tripod, you kind of know what to expect. But if you're not a punter as well, as Clarkie said, it doesn't matter. They sponsor and make the show possible, and there's going to be some punting insights, but we also just want to make it entertaining. And we're also going to get $100 to bet on for charity every single week. We'll nominate the charity at the end of the World Cup, and it's going to be your guys' bets that we're going to be putting on. So comment what bet you would have for the first round. We're going to pick one, 100 goes on that. And if that wins as well, you win your choice of jersey, whether it's NRL jersey or an international jersey, perhaps. So as I say, we're going to break down the games that might help you with our predictions or if we share your tip. But either way, we're just setting the table for the matches ahead. And if you're not familiar with betting lines, just quickly, it's like a head start that the bookmaker adds to each team to basically make it a 50-50 outcome no matter which side you take. So if the team is a favourite, the line is going to be a minus, meaning that that team needs to win by more than the minus number for your bet to win on that team. If a team's an underdog, they're going to have a plus, which is a head start, which means they could win the game or lose within that positive number and you'd win your bet. And the reason I mention that is because our graphics, like you can see example for the opening game on the screen, is going to show you the handicap. And if you're not a punter, all you can take out of that is it's going to give you an idea of how close a game is expected to be and who's expected to win. But that's not always how it plays out. And we will tell you if we disagree. We've said before, Top Sport sponsors the show, makes it possible, and they're an Aussie bookie. And they are not like all the rest of the bookies, honestly. And their CEO, Tristan, is a top bloke, and he's going to join us every week for a quick insight into where the action has been in the punting markets.
G'day, Tripod family. Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport, and we've almost got the World Cup here. It's always a tricky event to bookmake on, particularly the early rounds when you've got a lot of teams that maybe you don't know all of the players or the form lines or how they'll link up together particularly as well. So it's been tricky setting the opening lines and also trying to get the futures in place. There's been a big push in the opening match for Samoa. The match actually opened England's slight favourites, but now Samoa's into a very, very firm favourites at $1.63. So they've been very, very well backed. And that has seen a move in the group betting as well. So obviously Group A features both of those sides, and you know, whoever wins this game will likely win the group. So that's seen Samoa firm up very significantly for the group. So it does make the draw interesting if England get beaten in this first game, which maybe the market is suggesting is possible now. The other games that have seen some big goes are actually some of the secondary teams in Group C and Group D, where the Lebanon side have been well backed in Group C to advance. So they've firmed from $2.80 to $2.35. Obviously, Ireland is the second favourite behind New Zealand in that group. So that's suggesting that the punters out there think Lebanon are certainly a chance to cause an upset in that match when they take on the Irish side. And then in the other game in Group D, the Cook Islands have been back $6 into $5.50 as well. Tonga is very firm, and Papua New Guinea $1.15. So it wouldn't surprise if Cook Islands get through, but the punters are certainly looking for a little bit of value there. So we're going to have a work cut out trying to work out how to frame all of these markets over the course of the next few weeks. But it's always interesting. It's always good to have rugby league on our screen. So good luck if you're having a punt, and make sure you do so responsibly.
Thanks, Tristan. Yeah, it wouldn't be easy setting these lines, setting these odds, because we don't know a lot about all these teams or how they're going to go together. And it's been quite a while since we've had a lot of regular international football, obviously COVID break, not to mention this World Cup itself was meant to take place 12 months ago. But we're here, we're going to give it a shot in terms of predicting, but we're not going to pretend to know everything when we get to some of these games where we're not familiar with all the players. We'll just tell you what we do know. But the tournament kicks off with an absolute barn burner in the host England playing Samoa. As you heard Tristan say, Samoa are the favourites, -3.5 is a start. How do you see this one, Clarkie?
Yeah, Pool A, England, Samoa, Greece and France. I think that the winner of this will, Tristan said it, he stole my homework. The winner of this will determine the winner of that pool / the runner-up. This is a really, really tough one to predict. Two very evenly sides. What splits them for me is, I think this Panthers backline, the fact that they're all together. Now, my predicted backline is Joseph Suaalii at fullback. On the wing there, I think you'll see Taylan May with Isaac Tungo. That's a Panthers connection there. And the other combination will be Stephen Crine and Brian To'o. Worst case is Taylan May is not available. Well, Hamiso Tabuai-Fidoh comes onto that wing. Still a very, very strong backline there. The fact that that Panthers backline have played footy together as recently as of the last month, I am going to go ahead and tip Samoa. But because it's early in the World Cup, I don't have, strong recent form to go off. As you said, I'm not too strong on this tip. I think Samoa will win, but I can't say so confidently.
Before I share my thoughts, for Donis, who joins me every week on the pod, or joined me in 2022, we had another great season on our best bets. She shared me a tip for the opening round, and it was this game as well. So he's got a bet and a breakdown.
In terms of futures, I don't really love anything. I think Australia, the clear and obvious pick, but at $1.50, around that range, I don't think they represent much value. But I can't bet against Australia. I just think they have the most stacked side. They've got the best depth in the competition as well. And I think when it comes down to it, Australia will be the winners of the tournament. But I do like something for round one, and that is England versus Samoa. And I like England in the first half at +2.5 on Unibet, and that's $1.81. I think Samoa coming into the tournament with plenty of fanfare and hype. When you look at some of their Penrith stars they've got, almost their entire back line. Suaalii is coming in at fullback. But to me, this side is still a little bit depleted in the forwards. I know that they've got Papali'i in there, but I still think that the England forward pack can match what they can produce. And I think early on in the tournament as well, with those combinations between Milford and Luai and maybe Suaalii at fullback, it's going to take some time for them to gel, and they're not going to be hit the ground running. I think England at home, they're going to want to start well. I think the line's sitting around 3.5 for the full match, but I think 2.5 in the first half is a great angle. Samoa might be able to run over the top of them late. They've got a lot more strike power than England do, but I just think England are going to be able to be resilient and gritty and hang in there and start well in front of their home fans, and that's the best bet that I've got for week one. Enjoy your footy, and good luck.
Thanks, Padonis. And he pre-recorded that Wednesday daytime. We're having to record this Wednesday night, so we're not going to have any official bets because the markets can move, and what we say tonight may or may not be available when you guys watch this live, and even that one has already come in. So +2.5, he had England first half, which I really liked as well, and that's already down to 1.5. But I would take England for the full game. The point Padonis made there, that the preparation for Samoa, like you mentioned it, Clarkie, they got all these Panthers backline players, and they do have combinations, between each other, but still as a unit, this Samoa side hasn't had a lot of time together. Whereas England's, this game's been years in the making, really, this opening game. And I think they're going to be better prepared. They're at home, they're better prepared for the conditions. And I think they're going to get the jump on Samoa, and I think England's going to win this one. I think the wrong team is favoured here, so I would play them head-to-head, $2.30 or plus 3.5 would be my pick. And the guy I'm looking forward to the most is Victor Radley, Victor the Inflictor, someone you talked about with the eligibility, you know, foregoing an opportunity to play for New South Wales to represent his dad's homeland. I can't wait to watch him at the lock there. And for Samoa, I cannot wait to watch Suaalii play fullback. He had the chance to be in the Kangaroos squad, and he'd probably be starting winger in the Kangaroos' strongest 13, but he wants to play fullback. I think Crichton's going to be unreal. You mentioned they got 6 backline starts and only 5 positions to play them, and then their forward pack's still really formidable too, because you've got the Origin tandem in the props there, Paolo and Papali'i. So it's an unreal game. We're going to talk more about futures predictions, but there's a lot at stake in this game. They're both going to get through Pool A, I believe, and you agree. But the winner of this game is highly likely to avoid Tonga in the quarterfinals and gets a saloon passage all the way to the semi. Not only that, the winner of this pool is on the opposite side of the draw to the winner of Australia's pool and New Zealand's pool. So you're getting all the way to a semi-final. You're not even going to have to beat a Kangaroos or a Kiwis to make the final. So it's so advantageous winning this opening game. And I reckon England can do it. On Sunday morning, now I won't say times because you guys could be in different time zones. Some people are out saving, some people aren't. But I should say the game's kicking off typically around midnight and then through to like 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. Whether you get up early and watch them live or you watch the recaps or you watch it delayed, whatever, it'll be great to wake up and watch footy at some point each day. And Australia is in the second match of the tournament playing Fiji. So that's Sunday morning. What do you reckon of this one,
Clarky? Yeah, just on the time zones real quick there, Winnie. If you guys are Australian Eastern Daylight Time, I've pinned the times for each matches to the top of my Instagram page. So go to the Instagram page and you'll be able to scroll through the entire regular draw there. And if you're standard time, plus minus an hour, I'm not too sure how that all works. Australia versus Fiji. One player I've really got to watch here, Winnie, Suia Wong, also known as, I think, Joshua Wong. Now, he plays for the Sydney Roosters. He is a young centre/back rower in their lower grades at the moment. Now, there was talk that Australian rugby were eyeing him off as their next Joseph Suaalii, as the next superstar they can really build the code around for the next few years and sort of their poster boy, glow-up boy for advertisements, sponsorships, etc. I'm not sure if he'll start for this Fiji side, but I'd be shocked if he misses their 17 altogether. And I think he will play NRL next year. So it's a big, big test. He'd be coming in and versing players that he'd be playing week in, week out. Apisai Kotosau, he's another one I think that we should be watching. I'm not sure if he'll be too bitter, but I do think in his mind, especially after winning that premiership, he probably believes he should have been in the Australian side over Ben Hunt or Harry Grant. So we could see him have a very, very big game. My prediction for this game, ultimately, I think it will be a big score by the Australians. I wouldn't be shocked if it was 30 plus, but what I will say is that Fiji and forward pack will be able to hold their own in the first half. I think it's in the second half where we'll see Australia really run home with this game and score a lot of points in that second half. And why that's so important is in a shorter tournament with just 3 games before you go to finals, you can't get to the last 10 minutes and slack off. You need to play for the full 80 because every point matters when it comes to potential for and against as to whether you advance or not. So I've got Australia by a big margin there.
Yeah, also agree. I should have said the line is 38.5. So if you bet Australia, they're going to win by more than 38.5 points. And I think the other thing that motivates them is it's a competition for spots because Mal has said everyone who he's bringing over is going to get a cap for Australia, but they all want to be in the 17. When the whips are cracking in the important games. And really, I think Australia is not going to be tested until all the way through until the semi-final. And I mentioned before, they're on the same side of the draw as New Zealand. As many would argue, those are the best two teams in the world. So it's all about that game. But you've got to put in the groundwork and build as a team. And then you want to be in the strongest 17. But then Australia wants to play with their strongest 17 in a couple of games to get the reps. So I think that's going to keep them motivated through the 80 minutes. So I would play Australia with the line. Most looking forward to two players that won't play together in this first game, but watching a halves combination of Cam Munster and Nathan Cleary, I think could be so special. Mind you, DCE gets the start in this one, probably because
Cleary's coming off that premiership. They might give him the extra break. Now, this is the biggest non-controversy. Somehow every show is talking about who should be Australia's halfback. It's not a discussion. DCE's starting in this one. Tell me if you disagree, Clarky, but it's Nathan Cleary. How about we make the best player in the world the halfback for Australia? I don't know. People are saying, oh, who's Mal going to choose, or making it out like it's controversial. So I think it's got to be Munster and Cleary. And then off the back of that, I can't wait to watch what players like Latrell and Teddy do. But for Fiji, you mentioned their forward pack. Of course, Kikau, another Panther and another reigning Premier. And another Panther who I'm looking forward to seeing is Taruva. We've got a couple of first grade starts this year for the Panthers, but another really talented player that would probably play in most other NRL sides, but just can't crack this Panthers side. So Fiji, I've got them going through in Pool B, but I don't have them being competitive with Australia. Any comment on Cleary versus DCE, Clarky?
Biggest comment on that would be, I think Mal Meninga showed his hand when DCE was dropped as vice captain. I don't think you drop someone as vice captain if they were your key choice as a halfback. It's a key spot and a key position where you would usually see a vice captain or a captain playing in that spine there. I think DCE's only potential claim was right after the Origin series, if there was a test within the month after that. Since then, DCE has missed finals and his form has realistically fallen off, whereas Cleary has gone on to win a premiership. The other thing that I think it adds in Cleary's favour is Cameron Munster plays similar to Jerome Luai, where he pops up where he needs and he's always sort of looking for those opportunities while Cleary steers the ship around. So I don't think there's too much of an adjustment for Nathan Cleary there. He's used to playing with a player similar to Jerome Luai, and that being Cameron Munster. He's in much better form. He's coming off a premiership. DC is not in best form. I agree with you. I don't think there's much of a conversation to be had there or a debate.
Yeah, you made some good points there. Like, because DCE captained Queensland to an underdog series win, but then is not even in the one of the three players named as leaders in the Kangaroo squad. So why not? Probably because realistically he's not in the 17, and that's okay. And you know, injuries are going to happen, and attrition is going to happen, and rugby league is a brutal sport, and it's a 6-week long competition. So who's in your strongest 17 in the first game isn't necessarily who plays in the biggest games as well. We understand that. So maybe DCE, you know, it can happen. Anyone can get injured or suspension, as we know, from the NRL. So maybe DCE still has an important part to play. He gets the opening opportunity in this one anyway, but I wouldn't read into that as if it's a competition. I think you've got to give it to the best player. Another thing is people have said, oh, DCE is the incumbent. Well, true, you want to respect incumbency, but let's remember last time the Kangaroos played, they lost to Tonga. Like, so why do we have to reward the players that played in that game necessarily? And DC was the halfback in that game. I can understand incumbents if you know, if we'd won. Moving to Monday, Scotland play Italy, and the line for this one is Scotland minus 12.5. What are you looking forward to in this one?
This is a really tough one to have a comment on, Winnie. I don't watch much Super League, so the players that have been named in Scotland from the Super League, I don't have too much comment on. Going through the lineups, there was only quite a few players that I really knew, and that was Nathan Brown, Cooper Johns, Ewan Aitken, and Kane Lynette, who did play a few seasons with the Cowboys. He's been over in the Super League lately. One big get that is so unlucky he wasn't able to play for Scotland would have been Lachlan Coote, dealing with head injuries. I think he's won three premierships in a row there with St. Helens. So you can't put into words how big of a loss that is for them. Going to Scotland's trial, they only scored one try. That was through Kane Lynette. They lost to the England Knights, which is England's A backup side. What wasn't their best side. And they won that 28-4 against Scotland. Italy haven't had a trial from what I've seen, so I can't comment there. For Italy, one player I'd be keeping my eye on is Luke Pacelli. He's a good young Queensland Cup player that can play 5/8 or fullback. He'll play fullback for Italy. I'd expect him to have a combination there with Cooper Johns. I'm not sure if they've played together at Queensland Cup level. I believe they would have. They've both been around the Falcons system for a while now. As for a tip, Winnie, I don't know. I don't know whether those lines are good, whether Italy will keep it close or whether Scotland will run away with it. I can't comment on sides like this until I have a little bit of form from the World Cup, possibly next round. It's a tough one to call, right?
Absolutely. That's what we want to do is have a look at how some of these teams play, and that will give us a really good gauge and idea to judge for, you know, the round two and the round three games as well. And so each week we will also do a quick recap and highlights and things that we learnt in the opening round of games before we look forwards. We're not going to, you know, pretend to be experts on it, but you know who else Scotland missed out on as well? Someone who declared eligibility is Campbell Graham. And then, you know, he didn't play Origin this year. I can't think, unless someone comes to the top of your head, Clarkie, are there any other players in the Kangaroos 24 who didn't even, have never even played Origin? If you're Scotland, you're feeling a bit unlucky, like he wasn't even in the Origin fold, but then he gets picked for the Kangaroos. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. Played outstanding in the finals series, and he's a gun right centre, and he's going to get a chance for the Kangaroos, but it's just unlucky for Scotland because he would have actually been representing them. They do have Ewan Aitken, and then you mentioned the guy I want to watch play is Cooper Johns. Does he have a club yet? Obviously, he's been at Sunshine Coast Falcons, Melbourne Storm, but he wants to put himself in the shop window and get himself a contract.
Yep, off contract still. I've not seen that he's re-signed anywhere, only that he's left the Storm. To touch on Scotland as well, another person who is eligible for them would be Stephen Crichton. We know he's playing for he is playing for Samoa, but let's say Scotland have a big year at the World Cup. There's a lot of players that are eligible for Scotland that might switch allegiance in the future. And so whilst they are playing in the 2021/22 World Cup, they could also be really future-proofing themselves for World Cups to come with strong performance in this one.
What you do also find with your Scotlands, Irelands, Wales historically, I'm sure it's the case in this World Cup too, is they do get some English players. They do benefit from English players that have a relative for one of the other, you know, UK nations as well. So I guess it goes both ways. Later on Monday, Jamaica plays Ireland. So another one that's tough to judge. Ireland are 33.5 point favourite. What are you looking forward to in this one?
Unfortunately, I will say for Jamaica, it's fantastic for their nation that they're in a World Cup. But without professional experience in their lineup, I don't see them winning a game this World Cup. I don't think that opening line's disrespectful either. I mean, Ireland have some Super League experience in their side. And I think that this World Cup, particularly when we watch Jamaica play, will really show the difference between professional and amateur players. And I don't mean that to sound disrespectful, but I think Ireland will win this game. I think they'll win comfortably. Fortunately, I don't see Jamaica winning a game this World Cup.
Now, not only professional players, but Clive Churchill medalist Luke Keary is in this Ireland team. So he's the guy I'm looking forward to watching most. And I do have Ireland progressing out of their pool as well, probably ahead of this is the pool with New Zealand, and I'd have them ahead of Lebanon. But that's the next game. New Zealand plays Lebanon later on Monday morning. And the line for this one is the biggest of all the opening games. New Zealand are a 41.5 point favourite. Clark, I don't know if you recall, who did they demolish last week in one of the trial games? I kind of feel like they're going to carry that straight into the World Cup. They look red hot. And this is a New Zealand side that's as good as we can recall seeing for a number of years.
Leeds Rhinos, 70-something nil was our score in that trial game. Lebanon did play a trial game also. In that trial game, they defeated Wales by not a massive margin, but it was a great win there. Things to watch out for this Lebanon side. I've got to go straight to their halves combo. Adam Dewey and Mitchell Moses would fair dinkum not look out of place in the NRL, let alone for a second, third tier nation, whatever Lebanon are classed at the moment. And then Jacob Carraz. When we look at where he could play in this World Cup, there's a lot of talk that he might actually start at fullback, which I think would be really, really exciting. I've liked what I've seen from him on the wing so far in the NRL. Thought he was one of the best rookie outside backs this year. But unfortunately for Lebanon, I don't think this will be too much of a contest. I think there'll be highlights for their fans, definitely. But I can see New Zealand winning by plenty. And when I say that, I don't think it's exactly groundbreaking news, particularly when we look at such a line like that.
I do recall the 2017 World Cup, Lebanon played Australia and they kept it reasonably competitive. The final margin was in the 20s or low 30s. And that team was coached by Freddie Fidler, which catapulted him into more rep coaching. And Mitchell Moses was in that team back then. I can't remember.
Robbie Farrow, Tim Manor.
Yeah. And you mentioned that they wouldn't look out of place at NRL. I'm pretty sure I've seen Mitch Moses and Adam Dewey do pretty well in NRL and even you know, at the next level. So no question, that's a big coup for them to get these star players. And that's why probably there's been some money on Lebanon to progress, as Tristan mentioned. But it's all about New Zealand in this one. They're going to win this well. And the player, there's so many exciting players in this team, but the one that I just can't take my eyes off is Joey Manu getting unleashed at fullback. We saw what he did in the mid-season test where they played Tonga, destroyed him. It's a legit Tonga side. And he broke the world record for most metres in a game. And he doesn't get to play fullback on a regular basis, as we know, because the Australian captain plays there at his club. And we've got three Roosters playing fullbacks for three of the contenders at the World Cup. Arguably, yeah, you know, if Samoa beats England, then it's probably the three best teams at the World Cup will have Roosters players at fullback. And then that's going to be worth watching. And I think Manu could be player of the tournament if New Zealand can go all the way. And they're definitely going to win this game, win every game in their group, win their quarter final. They're going to play Australia. And we'll get to our futures predictions later. I won't tease ahead. But look, even if I had to bet this game, I know Lebanon's got some NRL talent, but I still would probably tip New Zealand to win by a big score. Just think Maguire's men are going to set the tone. On Tuesday morning, France play Greece. And France are 24.5-point favourites. There's a couple of Super League clubs. I'm also not a big follower of Super League, admittedly, but there's a couple of Super League clubs based in France, and a lot of these players fill out the French roster, Clarky.
Yeah, and I'd imagine there'd be some form of chemistry from the Toulouse boys there, or Toulouse. I'm not sure how it's said there, but I imagine there'd be some chemistry there. I go to Greece's trial game. Now, they drew with the Bradford Bulls under-19 side. Bradford Bulls, I think they're like kind of a Queensland Cup side to the Super League. They're one step below. And it was under 19, so not a great result there. But also, you know, something I guess Greece should be proud of and happy, given they're an emerging nation. I'm talking more so in the broad grand scheme of a World Cup, tying with an under-19 reserve grade side, probably not the best form to be coming into that match with. Their spine does include Peter Mamazalis and Lachlan Ilias, who have played a lot together at the Rabbitohs New South Wales Cup level. They keep that spine combination there together. I think they'll be able to influence and create some opportunities through the middle and wider together. But I'm just not sure if they'll have the class to sort of capitalize on those consistently. Whereas, as we said, France, a lot of these players have played together. Therefore, you'd have to think they've got some chemistry. And that should allow them to take those opportunities more so often than Greece will be able to. And so I do think that line, it does look good at 24.5. I think that's very, very achievable for France to win by such margin.
And appreciate you sharing the trial form. And it gives us a bit of context going into this game, so we don't know a lot. But we take it with a grain of salt too, because, you know, teams that necessarily play their own stronger side or want to show their hand as well. So you could get some drastically different performances when it's officially test matches that are at stake. Some sharp minds in the tripod punting group are tipping Greece even as a possible outright upset in this one. So for a 24.5-point favourite, that's, you know, double-digit odds to win head-to-head. But there are a few people that reckon that Greece has a chance in that one. On Wednesday, this should be a pretty good game. But I can't figure out this line. Tonga are 26.5-point favourites against PNG. I thought the line should be a lot lower than that one, Clark. How do you see this one?
Oh, we saw this in the mid-season test, Winnie, where Papua New Guinea were at big odds against Fiji. I took PNG to win outright confident. I think that were up over $4, if I'm not mistaken, because when Papua New Guinea play, they just play with so much passion that you can throw odds out the window. I mean, going to my strongest Tonga 17, without a doubt, it's a stronger lineup than Papua New Guinea. I've got 1-17, Tola Tau Kola, Daniel Tupou, Sio Sifatalakai, Moses Suli, Will Penasini, Junior Amone, Isaiah Katoa, Adam Fanua Blake, Saliva Havili, Junior Totola, Hamoli Olakuatu, Keon Kolomatangi, Joe Offahen Giawi, Tui Lolahia, Moeki Fotueka, Sio Suia Takiaho, and David Fifita. And of course, that's not including Jason Tomalolo, who was suspended for the first three games of this tournament. When you look at a 17 like that, I mean, it really is super, super powerful. But I could still see Papua New Guinea keeping it within that line, particularly with Jason Tomalolo out. He is very, very important. Another one for this one too is Winnie. This will probably set the group winner because they are both within Pool D, which features Cook Islands, Papua New Guinea, Wales, and Tonga. I can't see Wales or Cook Islands winning that pool. Cook Islands maybe would be a smoky, but I believe it's between these two nations. In this game, I'm probably going to take Tonga, but I'm only going to take the maybe 1 to 12. I don't see this one being a big one. My player to watch, David Fifita. In the trial that Tonga had, they first France, I believe. They smoked him. And I think Fifita scored 3 or 4 tries. So definitely keep an eye on him. He's the sort of player, and I'm a Titans fan, guys, so I watch him every week, against lower-ranked sides. He is so, so damaged. When the sides shut Dave Fifita down, Winnie, it's generally the Melbourne Storm or the Roosters or the Panthers that have a really, really great game plan. And I would really watch Dave Fifita, particularly against like Wales and Cook Islands. I can see him scoring a lot of tries this World Cup.
Sounds like you're describing a bit of a bully, but when I look at Tonga, that's the first thing that jumps out to me is that back row. Like, and Fifita is not even starting to call on Mutangi, Olakuatu. That's unreal. And the halves, I'm so excited about as well.
Is Kofusi another option?
Yes, good point. And then in the halves, like Teletau Amon, I think he can have a massive World Cup. And I think if Tonga can go a long way, he's going to really emerge. But Katoa as well, who's been signed by the Dolphins, is a player that, and another guy like Taruva for Fiji, where he might have already cracked first grade if he didn't play for such a stacked club. He's another football. He's a former Panther because he's going to move to the Dolphins next season to Wayne Bennett's side. But can't wait to see what he's got to offer for PNG. They've got some backline studs, NRL talent, Xavier Coates, Alex Johnston, Justin Olam. And yeah, I'm suspicious in this line. I almost think it's too good to be true. So I'm not betting it. I'm not officially tipping it because maybe there's something amiss with PNG. But as you say, they were 10-point underdogs to Fiji and won outright. Tonga was about a 10-point underdog to New Zealand that got pumped by 20. Now, no disgrace in Tonga's performance, but if PG could outright upset Fiji, why do they come into this game as such massive more than 4 converted try underdogs? I'm just wondering if, they're not at full strength and they're not going to be at their very best in this opening game. So I reckon Tonga wins well, but the line seems way too high for me to want to lay the points. So I'd much rather sit back and just watch this one. The last game of the opening round of the World Cup is on Thursday morning, and it's Wales, Cook Islands. Now, sorry, connection's not the best. Sorry, did I cut you off there?
No, well, I was just going to say the only thing I can really suggest for that Tonga line being so bad is if you just go through their lineup and see how many players are in career best form. Moses Sully averaged some of the most tackle breaks in the NRL. Talakai, origin player now. Penasini in a grand final. I'm on a career best form. Katoe, the young halfback, kicked the field goal to win jersey flag. Lola here, career best form in Super League. I mean, you go to the forward pack. Junior Totola, Saliva Havili, career best form. Ola Kawatu, Keon Collins. Career best form. I can go through the whole line. I think that's what's really moving that line so big, if I had to guess.
And we will touch on Tonga a little bit more because we're going to do futures predictions. So we'll see how far each of us thinks they're going to go. But yeah, when you rattle through those names, it got me thinking like they're all NRL talent. But if that was an NRL team, that sounds like a finals, like a top 8 NRL team to me as well. So it's a stacked roster. And yet we'll talk about the contenders. I don't know if they're one of the 4 best teams at the World Cup, but that shows the depth of talent at this World Cup. Now, as I said, one more game to discuss. Cook Islands, Wales, the other 2 teams in Tonga's group, and probably 2 teams fighting for the second spot in the group, fighting for qualification. And the Cook Islands, who have some NRL talent as well, are 17.5-point favourites. Who are you looking forward to watching?
I had a look at both of their lineups. I definitely knew more Cook Islands players. Looking at the Cook Islands side, only 2 of their players were below reserve grade or top grade. One of those players was Anthony Gelling, who has previously played Super League, NRL, Kiwis, and for Cook Islands on multiple occasions. Can't remember the last one. He played for St. Mary's around the Penrith sort of district there. But everyone else in their roster is either in reserve grade, Queensland Cup, New South Wales Cup, NRL Super League, or one below the Super League. So on that point, I'm going to go Cook Islands over Wales. Just going back to my same sort of points in the Jamaica versus Ireland game, where I think we'll see a difference here between professional players versus some that aren't at maybe such a high level consistently week in, week out.
And some of the young NRL forwards in this Cook Island side, Makatoa, Moale, Kiakura. Can't watch, wait to watch these guys. But then there's another familiar name, Dylan Napa, in the Cook Islands side as well. So I expect that they will be too strong for Wales in this one, even though some form of home ground advantage for Wales are. But I'd be inclined to look towards the favourites with the -17.5 start. Let's move to futures. I'm going to go pool by pool and say who I predict to progress and the order. And then you just tell me if you disagree with any of these. So pool A, because I'm picking England in that opening game, I've got England top, Samoa second. Pool B, Fiji, and pool B, Australia first, Fiji second. Pool C, New Zealand first, I've got Ireland second. And in pool D, Tonga to top and PNG, even though Tonga should topple them in the opening game, I'd have PNG getting through. You disagree with any of them?
Only slightly. My ones that I disagreed on was Lebanon going through and the first game. And so my finals week one would be Australia versus Lebanon, right. Samoa versus Papua New Guinea, New Zealand versus Fiji, and Tonga versus England.
Yeah, and that just shows how important that opening game is, England-Samoa. And certainly plenty of people in the betting market agrees with you, Samoa's favourite. And you said Lebanon instead of Ireland. So when that game comes up, that could be like a qualifying match because I think we'd agree everyone's playing for second in New Zealand's pool. Follow your predictions through then, Clarkie. Then who would you have in the semis and who would you have making the final and winning competition?
Well, this is where it really heats up. So then we'd go to week two of the finals where I believe Australia would defeat Lebanon. I believe Samoa would defeat Papua New Guinea. I've got New Zealand over Fiji and I'm going to take Tonga to upset England. Interesting, because in your predictions, you've got England way higher than I do. And I know they've got a home ground advantage and you're really starting to make me regret my predictions here. But I'll stand firm, which would mean Australia would versus New Zealand. So we cannot have an Australia versus New Zealand final. Unless I've made a mistake here, they must play in the qualifying. Then I believe we would have Samoa versus Tonga, which is just insane to think about. I was at a game in 2017 or 18 at Campbelltown, loudest atmosphere and fans I've ever seen in my life. I believe Australia will defeat New Zealand, and I think Tonga will edge past Samoa. But that's a coin flip. I mean, both of those games are coin flips. It's so hard to call, which means I've got an Australian versus Tonga World Cup final. If you disagree, I can't disagree back. I mean, both of those games are coin flips to me. They are so hard to sit here and pick at this point in time. All I can say confidently is that I cannot wait. That's all I can say confidently.
And Australia versus Tonga was so close to being the 2017 grand final. If people recall how that semi-final went down. It was in Auckland against England with a very controversial finish. And I feel like Tonga went out heroes. And then England, let's not forget, got to the final, played pretty loaded kangaroo side, and the final score was just 6-0. So it was a really close game, closer than a lot of people expected. For me, I do have Samoa playing Tonga, but I think they're going to meet the quarterfinal if Samoa comes second in their group. Either way, I just really want that game. We've got to get a Samoa-Tonga game at this World Cup. It's going to be phenomenal. The way I see it is we've got five really powerful teams. And I actually think Tonga is at the biggest disadvantage of all of them because no matter what, Tonga's going to have to beat two of the other contenders to make the grand final and is going to have to beat three of the other four contenders to win it. Nobody else is going to have to do that except for maybe the loser of Samoa England who then has to play Tonga. So I just feel like that's the stack when you've got five powerful teams. Two of them are going to meet in the quarterfinal, and that's the toughest path. And the biggest advantage is whoever wins Samoa England in the opening game because they get that easy passage all the way through to the semi, and then they play somebody that would have had to have the toughest possible quarterfinal. And not only that, but you get to a semi-final on a side of the draw without having to beat Australia or New Zealand, and you don't have to beat both of them. You're going to only have to beat one that emerges. So I've got the semi-final on that side of the draw being Samoa England rematch. So I don't know how they made these draws. Usually teams that are in the same group shouldn't meet again till the final because what if the two best teams happen to be in the same group? But for whatever reason, I don't know if they did the hosts a favour here and wanted a bigger chance of England playing in the grand final for the hype, you know, for the home crowd, whatever. Or maybe, I don't know what the rankings were at the time they made this draw, whether England just, you know, deserved to be on that side of the draw. But that's how it's going to work out no matter what. And then Australia, New Zealand, which could be the final, won't be. As you said, it'll be a semi. And, like, I would take Australia if I had to. And I think that depth is a real thing. And I mentioned, I don't know how you beat a spine that's kind of got Munster, Cleary, Teddy. Like, ultimately, I think it's going to get them over the line against anybody. But New Zealand's going to have a real chance. And any of those three, Samoa, Tonga, or England, has a chance the other side of the draw. But I'd probably say, I'd probably say an England-Australia final, so a rematch 2017. But I could also see a scenario where I'm picking England in this opening game because I think they're going to have more continuity and Samoa is still finding themselves and some of these Penrith boys are still on a come down. But maybe after getting a few games under their belt, maybe Samoa loses to England on Sunday morning and then comes back around and gets them in the semi-final. I could see that happening. And an Australia-Samoa final would be epic as well. And you've got to kind of think about, we're not saying we know who for sure what's going to happen, and that's why you play the games, but you've got to kind of think about who's going to progress and how many games people are going to play for the next market that's got a lot of interest, which is top try scorer, because you obviously want to pick a player that's going to play a lot of games. There's some juicy odds amongst this. Did you have a look at this market, Clark? Have you got a flyer for top try scorer for the competition?
I'm going to go ahead and offer four here for you, Winnie. I'm going to offer one from each pool so to disperse my picks there. Dom Young for England, he's coming off three or four tries in their trial. They're going to want to play down his edge for good reason. He's a try scorer at NRL level. For pool B, I'm going to go Josh Addo-Carr, playing on the same wing as Valentine Holmes in the last World Cup. He scored five tries in one game on that wing. I think that's a good one there. For pool C, I'm going to go Ronaldo Mulitalo. I think New Zealand will win that pool quite comfortably. Go ahead and pick anyone you like for New Zealand if you think that they are a chance there in the top try scoring market. And for pool D, I'm going an absolute smoky. David Fifita, a little bit of a bully when it comes to these lower sides in the NRL. And if we look at those in the pool, I think he can score tries against Cook, New Guinea and Wales quite comfortably. So I'm going to go a genuine smoky for that pool.
For me, top try scorer, because I did say England, I think, can get to the final. I was looking at Tommy Makinson. I think you'll find him at 15s. I got him $18 on Toppy, but the odds have come in, so I don't think it's still going to be there by the time we're live Thursday night. I'm looking at New Zealand. They've got three walkovers in the pool, even if they only get to the semi. And, of course, they're a live chance of making it to the final. So Mulitalo is $10 to be top try scorer on Ladbrokes and Neds. So I think that, yeah, favourable draw in that one. I just think this New Zealand side will be ruthless. Taylor May, check his hamstring, but he's $61. If he's on the wing for Samoa and they make the final, I mean, Taylor May is $15 just to be Samoa's top try scorer, but he'll be on the wing if he's fit and healthy. So I don't know if somebody knows something we don't, but that's on Sportsbet, well worth a look as well, unless the mail is out that Tabua Fido is going to get that wing spot and May or the hamstrings more serious than we thought, and then that would dictate the odds. But you might know ahead of this Samoa-England game. And I've got a World Cup futures combo, so pretty unique at the end of this year. We have three World Cups. So if you're a fan of, you know, multiple sports, you've got the Rugby League World Cup. We all love our Rugby League. That's going to kick off this weekend. But then just a few weeks' time, Australia is hosting the 2020 Cricket World Cup. And then there's the FIFA Soccer World Cup that kicks off in Qatar. Within a week or two of the Rugby League World Cup ending, that one kicks off in November. So I've come up with a custom market, thanks to Toppy, for some events that you can cheer across the three tournaments. And I've got Australia to win one World Cup. So most likely it could be the Rugby League, but we get a second crack at the cherry with the Cricket World Cup. The Australian team goes all right as well. So Australia's got to win at least one World Cup. It can be any of the three. It can even be soccer. That's unlikely. England to make one final. Now, England's got a legit shot to make a final in all three, Rugby League, Cricket and Soccer. We just need them to make one. India to make the semis in the T20. They are one of the powerhouse cricket sides. Just got to get to the semi-final or better for this leg of the multi, and a South American team to make the final of the FIFA World Cup. And I think Brazil is as stacked as any side, and they're the favourites. And you've got Argentina, a live chance as well. Now that's $7, and that's pretty fun, something you can share through all three World Cups. That's the Tripod World Cup combo market. If you like it, if you want a top sport account, you can join with the code Tripod. Clarkie, thanks again. for joining me. Please, people, comment about anything we said or your own tips. And again, we're going to choose one of your tips to put a charity bet on, and then if it wins, you're going to win a jersey. And this time next week, we will be truly live to interact with you guys. So we'll add an extra element to the show. We'll put your comments up on the screen below, and we'll interact and answer questions and respond to your comments. So thanks for putting up with tonight's bad connection, a bit of a makeshift version, but hopefully you'd enjoy it. Hopefully you'd enjoyed it. Hopefully you enjoyed being on the show, Rugby League World Cup Radio, Clarkie.
No, thank you very much for having me, guys. And to the listeners, hopefully you enjoyed Rugby League World Cup Radio with Winnie and Clarkie, episode one, and it's only upwards and up and up from here, guys, and we're really looking forward to it.
So enjoy the games. Good luck if you do have a punt. Always do it responsibly, as we've said. We hope you enjoyed the show. Have a good night.